Platinum Jubilee is something very special because it's never happened before. There's never been a king or queen of England who's been on the throne for 70 years. And through all that time, our queen has faithfully served the needs of our country. She's been faithful to the promises that she made on the day of her coronation. And that points us towards the faithfulness of God, that God has been even more faithful. He's been faithful over hundreds of years to his promises. And that's where we begin this morning. Let's stand to sing, "Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father." Now, the 70-year reign of our Queen is a great reason to say thank you to God. And we're going to do that together by saying Psalm 145. The words will be on the screen here, or you can open up the Bible if you prefer, at page 631. The Psalms are like the hymn book of the Bible, the songs of God's people. And here is a great thank you song. And this morning we particularly want to say thank you for our Queen. So we'll say it together. We'll say it nice and slowly. We'll pause at the end of each line, each sentence, to let people catch up. And we'll start again, as it were. So we say together, "I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They will tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will extol you. They will tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all men may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving towards all he has made. The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving towards all he has made. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. Amen." A great song, a great thank you to our gracious God. Now, today we are giving thanks for this 70 years reign of Queen Elizabeth. All the ways that she has served this country is a reason for us to be very thankful, and to be saying thank you to the Queen for serving us so well. But we're not just saying thank you to her. We're here this morning to say thank you to God. But why? Why should we say thank you to God for the Queen? Why isn't it enough just to say thank you to her? Well, there's a verse in the Bible which says the authorities that exist have been established by God. And a bit later, it speaks of the ruler as God's servant. So God is the big ruler. God is the great ruler. But he gives a bit of that rule to human rulers. He shares a bit of his authority with our queen. Why? Well, the same bit of the Bible, a bit further on, says that they are God's servants to do you good, that they are an agent of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. So God sets up rulers, kings and queens and parliaments and prime ministers for our good. And partly that is by punishing people who do wrong, punishing people who break the law. God gives everyone rulers, like our queen, to prevent people from being as bad as they might otherwise be. Just imagine for a moment a world where there were no rulers, where there were no judges, where there were no policemen, where there were no courts of law. Imagine a school where there were no rules. Might sound quite attractive, but imagine it, where you could be a bully and no one would tell you off. You would never be punished. That would be a horrible world to live in, wouldn't it? So how good God has been. God has been good to everybody by giving us a queen, especially a queen who's led so well and so wisely. He's been good to giving us a parliament and judges and policemen and so on. Maybe sometimes they get it wrong. Sometimes they make mistakes. And some of you have come from a country where things have gone badly wrong. But mostly, it would be an awful lot worse without them. It's one of the ways that God has been good to everybody. And that's why we thank God for our Queen. But the Queen is only one way that God has been good to everybody. Let's have a bit of a brainstorm and think of other ways that God has been good to everybody. Okay, so good things that God gives to everybody. And I put a few up already: a queen, a parliament, judges, policemen. Well, what are ways that God has been good to everybody? Things that God gives to everybody, a mark of his goodness. Yes, Dorothy, what would you say? Doctors, okay, thank you. Yes, okay, doctors. And people who look after us more generally, isn't it? Yes, yes, Theo. Teachers, okay, yes. And actually school itself, isn't it? The whole school and the opportunity to learn things new. That's a great gift of God, isn't it? The gift of discovering new things and learning new things. Yes, Andrew.
Sunshine and soft, refreshing rain.
Okay, let's keep it short. Sun and rain, okay, that'll do. Yes, okay, thank you very much. Brilliant, sunshine and rain.
Scientists,
yes, absolutely. All the discoveries that have been made. Isn't God good in giving us brains that can discover those things and the opportunity to develop and technology and all those sort of things? Thank you, Christine. Yes. Yes, Nadine.
Nature.
Okay. Trees and rivers and plants and flowers. God has been very good in all those things that we're surrounded by. Ben.
Retail workers.
Okay. and the things that they sell. You know, we have so many comfortable things that make life comfortable, don't we? Yeah? Okay. Any other? Yes, Anne. Families. Yes. Thank you. Family life. That's a great gift from God, isn't it? That he gives to everybody or nearly everybody. Born into a family. Yes, Jacob. Food. Yes, that's right. Every day, day after day, gives us food, things to eat, keep our bodies going. Okay. I wonder what else I had on my list. Let me just have a look here. Any more? Yes, Linda. Now, hold on to that. Hold on to that. We're thinking about gifts that God gives to everybody. We'll come back to you in the second half. Yes, David.
God's word.
Okay. Yes. So I guess not everybody has access to God's word, but certainly God's word in creation. God reveals and speaks to us in all the world around us. Thank you. Yes, Nadine again.
Church family.
That's second half. Johnny.
Work,
yes, absolutely. Right there in the Garden of Eden, God gave Adam a job to do and the satisfaction of work. And it was only after things went wrong that work turned into toil and it became a bit of a struggle. But it's a good gift of God. Work, yes, Jacob. Internet. I guess just the ability to talk, friends, let's say friends, shall we? Because I think, because what the internet gives is the opportunity to communicate and talk to people. Where would we be without friends, without the opportunity of relationships with one another? The Morgan family on fire this morning, yes. Sport, yes, absolutely. Cricket. What the world without cricket? Imagine that. Hasn't God been good giving us cricket matches, even when we don't do so well? Yes, Mike. Planet Earth. Okay. Yes, the whole creation, the whole cosmos, a gift of God. Yes, Grace. Love. Okay, I think I'll include that with friendship and friends with other people and love within a family. That's right. All those good gifts. I've lost my list. Oh, here it is. I don't think I've got anything on my list that you haven't already. Yes. Who said that? Somebody's music. Did you? Our musician said music. Yes, you are a great gift to us. God's good gift of music. And yes, Karen.
Rest.
Okay, thank you. Yes, gift of rest, sleep, and art and literature, the joy of reading and writing and those sort of things. Okay, so lots of good gifts that God has given to everybody. And those are gifts that God gives to people, whether they believe in him or not. So Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, if it's up on the screen there, God causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends his rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. It's easy, isn't it, to get used to all those things, to begin to take them for granted. And we only realize just how generous God has been when we compare it to what we actually deserve from God. You see, nobody has treated God as we should have done. We've all pushed God out of the way. And the Bible's word for that is sin. Who can remember the Sunday Seeker's definition of sin? S-I-N. Yes, Gloria. Brilliant. Shove off God. I'm in charge. No to your ways or no to your rules. That's how everybody has treated God. And the Bible's clear that such an attitude deserves to be immediately cut off, immediately sent away from God. God warned Adam that if he ignored what God said, if he rebelled against God, then he would surely die. Now, in fact, they didn't die immediately. God was kind to them. Although, in a sense, the death did begin to happen in their lives. They were shut out of God's presence. The full sentence came many years later. But that immediate death, immediate separation from God, is what they deserved. It's what we all deserve as soon as someone sins against God. And there isn't anybody who hasn't. But instead, God gives us all these wonderful things. God gives us the gift of life instead of being shut off from him. He gives us every breath. Every breath that every person takes is an undeserved gift of God. Every game of cricket is an undeserved gift of God. Every chance to learn something new is an undeserved gift of God. Every sunny day, every rainy day is an undeserved gift of our gracious God. In one of his talks, the Apostle Peter says to a group of people in a place called Lystra, he says this: God has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy. And in the psalm that we read together earlier, verse 9 of that psalm, the Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. Well, let's give thanks to God for how good and gracious and kind he has been to everybody. And we're going to stand and sing, Give Thanks to the Lord. As well as giving some gifts to everybody, there are other gifts that God gives only to his people, only to those who belong to Jesus. Now, today is Jubilee Sunday, but it's also a special Sunday for another reason. I wonder if anyone can tell me what else is special. What might we also call this Sunday, as well as Jubilee Sunday? Yes, Jean. Whit Sunday or Pentecost Sunday. That's right. It's the day when we remember God's gift of the Holy Spirit to Jesus's disciples. Jesus promised that they would receive the Holy Spirit, and then it happened. So in Acts chapter 2, we read these words. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. They received the presence of God. They received the power of God in their lives to help them to be witnesses to Jesus, to help them speak about Jesus. What a wonderful gift it was that they received. But this gift wasn't just for the first 12 disciples of Jesus. On that day of Pentecost, the Apostle Peter stood up and he spoke to the crowd who had all gathered together. And he told them that Jesus is the Christ, is God's King. And when they realized that, they realized that they were all in big trouble because they hadn't treated him as a king. They'd just killed him, in fact. And so they said to Peter, what should we do? What should we do? And Peter replies, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So if they repent, if they turn back to God and are baptized, a symbol of putting their trust in Jesus, then they will receive the Holy Spirit, says Peter. So he is not just the gift for the 12. He's the gift for all who turn back to God and rely on Jesus. In fact, Peter went on to say, the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. So all whom God calls to himself, all whom God calls to belong to Jesus, receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, is not given to everyone. He is like those gifts that we were thinking about earlier, like sun and rain and food and so on. No, the Holy Spirit is only given to those who belong to Jesus, to God's people. But he is not the only gift that God gives to his people. Let's have another brainstorm and think about those good gifts that God gives to his people, those who are called to belong to Jesus. So we need you, Ian, again, onto page two. God's good gifts that he gives to his people. There we are, right. Okay, and let's put the Holy Spirit as the gift we've already spoken about that God gives to his people. Other suggestions? Yes, Jacob. Eternal life, that's right. The most famous verse in the Bible. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes shall have eternal life. God's great gift of eternal life to those who believe in Jesus. Yes, Gloria. Heaven, is that what you said? Yes, indeed. A heavenly home to look forward to. What a great gift that is, isn't it, that God gives to his people. Yes. Yes, Andrew. Adoption. Yes, that's right. So we're not naturally God's children. We become God's children by being adopted into his family. Adopted as God's children. Yes. Leonie at the back there. God's son, Jesus. Yes, that's right. A relationship with Jesus. Jesus as our Lord and Savior. What a precious gift that is for us through him. There was a Hillary. Love. His love. Yes, that's right. To be on the receiving end of, and let's just take that a bit further. To know God as our Heavenly Father. Can we put that up? A Heavenly Father. That's a special privilege, isn't it? To be able to speak to God as our Heavenly Father. What about other? Yes, Johnny. Hope. Okay, that's kind of linked with glorious, isn't it? A heavenly home, but hope for the future. In a world where many are despairing, we have a wonderful gift of hope, a future to look forward to. Leonie. Forgiveness of sins. Thank you. It was mentioned there, wasn't it, in Acts chapter 2. Peter said, you will receive the Holy Spirit and forgiveness of sins to those who repent and are baptized. What a great gift that is, to be washed clean in God's sight. Forgiveness. Yes, Linda. No more pain. No more pain. Now, that's interesting. That's a gift that we don't yet have completely, is it? But we have the promise. So there are some gifts that we're kind of still waiting for. That would be part three. This talk's getting longer and longer. Yes. Okay. What else? Let me just have a look at my list. What did I have? Yes. So not just forgiveness, not just being washed clean. What are we given instead? Leonie, a righteousness, I can't say it, that is not our own. Exactly. That's right. Clothed with the righteousness of Jesus. God looks upon his people as if we were Jesus, clothed with his righteousness, his right standing with God. What a precious, precious gift. Andrew, peace, that's right, thank you. Peace, peace with, that was on my list here, Andrew. Well done, yes. Peace with God, instead of once being at hostility with God between us, now there is peace between God and his people. And young Andrew.
Have we got church house?
I don't know whether we've got church. We certainly ought to, shouldn't we? We've got each other. God has given us each other. When he brings us to trust in Jesus, he brings us into his family. He gives us brothers and sisters in Christ. A great, good gift of God. Faith. Yes. Brilliant. Thank you, Mike. Even that ability to trust in Jesus himself is a gift of God. It wouldn't happen otherwise. It's God's gift of faith and gift of repentance as well. We wouldn't naturally turn back to God unless he helped us and enabled that to happen. The Bible. Thank you. Thank you, May. Yes, he's given us his word. And I guess he's opened our eyes to the truth of it, hasn't he? Lots of people might read the Bible, but it's only as God helps us that it begins to make sense and we realize that this is truth. I had a couple of other things. A new identity. We are now in Christ. We're given a brand new identity as God's beloved children that we didn't have before. And a new mission. We now have a purpose. We have a purpose in life of being witnesses to Jesus, the results of which last forever. What a great gift that is, to be involved in a job, a task with results that are going to last forever. Okay, good. Thank you, Ian. Where were we? So God has been wonderfully kind to everybody in giving those gifts that we were thinking about earlier. And today we say thank you for the Queen. God has been wonderfully kind and gracious to his people. And today we're thanking him for the Holy Spirit. And the psalm that we began with actually referred to both of those sort of gifts. Up on the screen here, I hope. There we are. The eyes of all look to you and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. Those are gifts that God gives to everybody, whether or not they believe in him. And then later on, the Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. It's those who call upon God whom he saves, to whom he gives that gift of salvation. If a person goes on rejecting God, rejecting Jesus, then one day they will lose all his gifts. God will give them only what they deserve, and it will be his judgment rather than his gifts. But if we trust in Jesus, if we go on relying on Jesus, then all the gifts God gives will never be taken away from us. Indeed, there is even more to come, as Linda was saying. That's why in the Bible, the Holy Spirit is called the deposit, the first little bit, the first payment, with so much more still to come. So God gives many good gifts to everyone, but his greatest gifts are to his people through trusting in Jesus. And those gifts that come that way are the greatest treasure that we can ever have. Those are the gifts that last forever.